Blog Talk Radio. Welcome to Moe's Sports Talk. I'm your host, Maurice Trice, and I'm ready to talk sports with you on this beautiful Monday in Oklahoma. The high today, get this, 74 degrees in January. Wow, that is amazing. Could have wore my short pants, didn't wear my short pants, but definitely could have. But wow, what a beautiful Monday here in Oklahoma. Definitely enjoying the weather. I had a great weekend of watching sports and ready to talk about it all with you on today's show. As always, there's three ways to contact the show. You can call me up at 1-646-929-0429. Again, the number to call into the show, 1-646-929-0429. You can also email me, mauricetrice@hotmail.com. That's M-A-U-R-I-C-E-T-R-I-C-E at hotmail.com. You can also follow me on Twitter at TheDukeBoy100. That's at DukeBoy100. You can also like my Facebook page. Just put in Moe's Sports Talk in the search, and you can like my Facebook page. Also, you can listen to the show on TuneIn.com and Stitcher.com. That's TuneIn.com and Stitcher.com. And I believe the show is also available on iTunes as well. But like I said, we have a big show planned for today. We're going to talk a little bit about the Super Bowl. We're going to talk some Australian Open. We'll talk some golf. We'll also talk some college basketball. We'll talk NBA. We'll talk anything going on in the world of sports. We will talk about it on today's show. Before we talk basketball, we can continue to look at the Super Bowl, which takes place on Sunday, 5:30 Central Time on Fox, between the Patriots and the Falcons. There's some storylines to follow for the Super Bowl. The Atlanta Young secondary, them versus the Patriots wideout. That's going to be a very, very interesting matchup. Even without Gronkowski, the Patriots have a lot of weapons. You talk about Julian Edelman, Danny Amendola, Chris Hogan. Also, Martellus Bennett, I know he's not a wideout, but he's a tight end. He's kind of like a pass-catching tight end. Excuse me. So, excuse me. The Patriots have a lot of weapons at their disposal. So it's going to be interesting to see how that Atlanta secondary, can they handle those wideouts of the Patriots. They've improved throughout the season, there's no doubt, but they're a young, young secondary, Alford, and also Canu Neal. They have a lot of young players in their secondary, and if they don't get pressure on Tom Brady, can their defense hold up against the wideouts? Can their secondary hold out against the wideouts of the Patriots? You saw when Pittsburgh didn't get pressure last week against New England. Against New England, there were just people running wide open in the secondary in the AFC title game. That's going to be key for Atlanta. Can their secondary hold up against the Patriots? And also, another key for the Patriots defense is how will they defend Julio Jones? How do you defend Julio? To me, you don't line up Malcolm Butler one-on-one with Julio Jones. Obviously, Malcolm Butler can shadow him, but you have to have safety help over top. You do not want to see, if you're a Patriot fan, you don't want to see Malcolm Butler man-to-man coverage all game with Julio Jones. You have to have safety help. That's going to be key. Like they did against Antonio Brown last week, Malcolm Butler, he went underneath and they had a safety help over top. I think you're going to see that same kind of coverage against Julio Jones. And you know Bill Belichick is going to try to take Julio Jones away from the Atlanta offense. He loves to take your top threat away from your offense. So you know he's going to try to take out Julio Jones, keep him in check, I should say. So that'll be a key for the Patriots as well. So those are the two major storylines I'm going to be following. The Atlanta secondary, can they hold up, especially if they don't get pressure on Tom Brady? And how will the Patriots defend Julio Jones? And also, Atlanta, they have a lot of weapons as well, so it'll be interesting to see how the top scoring defense goes against the top scoring offense. Usually the top scoring defense wins. We'll see if that happens again on Sunday, so we can talk about that. Don't forget, on my next show on Friday, I'm going to have my official Super Bowl prediction. We'll have detailed breakdown of the Super Bowl between the Patriots and Atlanta. Also, we can talk some other NFL news. The 49ers have hired a GM. It was a great player, John Lynch. He's going to be the new general manager for the 49ers. Great player. We'll see how he does in a GM role. Obviously, John Elway, he was a great player, obviously, for the Broncos. He's done a great job as a GM for Denver, bringing back a Super Bowl to Denver. So my hopes are high. As a 49er fan, I definitely have high hopes for John Lynch, and it looks like the coach is going to be Kyle Shanahan, who right now is the offensive coordinator for the Atlanta Falcons. It looks like he's going to get the job. It hasn't been announced yet, but it looks like that's just about set in stone. So we'll see how that works out and if the 49ers can turn this thing around quickly. Also, turn our attention to tennis. We can't talk about the Australian Open. I definitely enjoyed watching Serena Williams. She beat her sister Venus Williams 6-4, 6-4 in straight sets. She did struggle early. Venus Williams definitely played really well. But it wasn't enough. Serena Williams definitely turned it on to earn her 23rd major title. Has to be the greatest women's tennis player of all time, in my opinion. Again, the consistency in which Serena has done it, and for that, and for matter of fact, for Venus as well. You can say Venus has been really consistent as well, but definitely Serena Williams been consistent for almost two decades. I mean, that is just impressive. Her conditioning, her fitness, her athleticism, very, very impressive. Dominance. To be dominating at her age is just impressive. Not that she's old, but in tennis years, to be dominating for almost two decades is just impressive. So, and look, I think she's going to win another title or two this year. So we'll see what happens there. But a great win for her. And on the men's side, Roger Federer, he wins, beating Rafael Nadal in five sets. He struggled. It was a struggle for him to win. It was definitely a tough match, but he got the job done. First major in 4 years. So that's very, very impressive there by Roger Federer. His 18th overall, he's definitely is going to go down maybe as the greatest men's tennis player. So we've been blessed to see arguably the greatest women's tennis player and also the greatest men's tennis player. You can make an argument for Roger Federer. So it's great to see him back and on top. We can also talk golf as well. Tiger Woods this weekend, he misses the cut at the Farmer Insurance Open at +4. Excuse me, he was better in the second round, even though he played the easier course in the second round, but at least he shot even par. And again, the big thing, at least Tiger Woods is healthy enough to play, but he's a long ways away from winning a major. There's no doubt about that. He has to be more consistent on the tee. He's driving the ball all over the place. His driver was just awful. He has to be a lot better. His putter wasn't bad, but he has to be better on the tee. I think that's going to be key. His driver cannot let him down like it did this weekend. So we'll see if he can turn it around. His next tournament is in Dubai. We'll see how he does there. John Rahm, by the way, wins at -13. And, you know, I was like, who in the world is John Rahm? But, look, that shows all these golf players are coming up. There's a lot of young talent, so it's going to be tough for Tiger Woods to win another major, but he still can do it. I still have, call it blind faith, call it whatever you want, but I still think he can win a major. But, boy, those injuries. But you don't want to make excuses. I still think he can turn around if he can be more consistent with his driver. We'll see if he can do that, and I'm definitely looking forward to the Masters. Right now we're going to take a quick break. We're going to listen to some music from the Fast and Furious 6 soundtrack. And don't forget, when we come back, we're going to talk some college basketball. We had a big weekend in college basketball. We'll break down some of the bigger games. We'll do all that next after listening to some music from the Fast and Furious 6 soundtrack. Oh, four star.
Sean Khalid from Man. Don't shine.
Money's the motivation, money's the conversation. You on vacation, we getting paid, so we on vacation. I did it for the fam, it's whatever we had to do, it's just who I am. Yeah, it's the life I chose. Gunshots in the dark, one eye closed. And we got it cooking like a one-eye stove. You can catch me kissing my girl with both eyes closed. Yeah. Perfecting my passion, thanks for asking. Couldn't slow down, so we had to crash it. You use plastic, we bout cash. I see some people ahead that we gon' pass, yeah.
I never feared death. ones that I ride with be the same ones that I doubt with. Put it all out on the line with. If you're looking for me, you can find.
Welcome back to Mo's Sports Talk. Don't forget, if you want to talk anything world of sports, you can call me up at 1-646-929-0429. We'd love to hear from you. But let's turn our attention to college basketball. I had a big weekend in college basketball. By the way, I went 4-1 in my weekend watch picks. The only pick I was wrong about was Kansas-Kentucky. We'll talk about that in a couple of minutes, that game. But I did go 4-1. But there was a bunch of ACC upsets. Man, it was not a good weekend to be a top-ranked team in the ACC. There was a lot of upsets in the ACC. Miami, they upset North Carolina, beating them 77-62 in Miami. Bruce Brown, he scored 30 points, had 5 assists. Jaquan Newton had 18 points and 7 rebounds. They were in attack mode. They got to the free throw line. They were 27-30 from the free throw line. North Carolina was only 13 of 19. Justin Jackson scored 21 for North Carolina, but one of their better players, Joel Berry, only 2 points, 0 of 9 shooting. And when your best guard, when he plays like that, it's going to be really hard to win. Also, North Carolina only shot 35% from the field, and they had 14 turnovers. So any game you play in ACC, especially on the road, you can lose. And that we saw that on Saturday. You go on the road, it's going to be really tough. Any conference, especially in the ACC. Syracuse, they upset Florida State, beating them 82-77. Andrew White, he had 24 points and 9 rebounds for Syracuse. John Gillen had 21 points and 11 assists. Great defense by Syracuse. They held Florida State to 38% shooting. Jonathan Isaacs had 19 points and 9 rebounds for Florida State, but they missed 9 free throws, so a really big win there for Syracuse, who's been struggling throughout this season, but they get a nice win over Florida State. And then finally, Georgia Tech. They beat Notre Dame at the buzzer 64-62. Josh Okogie, he scored 8 points, including the game when he shot. Tadrick Jackson had 25 points. They were plus 8 on the glass. For Notre Dame, V.J. Meacham, he scored 23 points, but they shot just 40%. And, you know, Notre Dame has been really good all season long at shooting the basketball, but they really struggled against Georgia Tech, only scoring 62 points. They've lost 2 games in a row, so they have a big game tonight coming up against my favorite team, the Duke Blue Devils. And when we talk about the Duke Blue Devils, they avoided the upset bug in the ACC. They beat Wake Forest 85-83. Luke Kennard scored 34 points, including a game-winning 3. He had all 6 of his 3s. He scored 30 points in the second half, so that was a big-time performance there by Luke Kennard. And he's been playing the best basketball for Duke. If you had told me that at the beginning of the season with Tatum and Giles and Grayson Allen, I would have said, no way. Luke Kennard is a really good player, but he's not going to be the best Duke player. He's been by far the best Duke player. His ability to get in the lane, his ability to knock down the 3. Grayson Allen was better. He scored 19 points. He had a big 3 as well. They hit 14 threes, but they attempted 31. And look, they knocked down some shots. That's good, but the defense still needs to improve. They still have defensive issues. They gave up 83 points to Wake Forest. I know it was on the road, but still. And also taking too many threes. Take some attack. Get to the basket. Bryant Crawford, he scored 26 points. Wake Forest only shot 6 of 20 from threes. And also they missed 7 free throws, which was really critical. So it was big for Duke to get a win, but Duke still has some issues that they need to get over. But this Duke team is really talented. They still have a chance to make a run. But again, they have to defense, and not selling for that 3-point shot will be key for Duke going forward. Don't forget, if you want to talk anything world sports, you want to talk college basketball, you want to talk NBA, you want to give me your Super Bowl prediction, you can call me up at 1-646-929-0429. Would love to hear from you. Also, this weekend we had the Big 12 versus the SEC Challenge. I told you West Virginia would beat Texas A&M. They did. They won by 4 points. I thought it was a lot closer than what I thought it would be. They won 81-77. Javon Carter had 19 points and 9 rebounds. They hit 11 threes. They forced 23 turnovers. That's what West Virginia does. The game was closed, really, because they missed free throws. They missed 11 free throws. But a nice win there for West Virginia as they beat Texas A&M. Again, a lot closer than what I thought it would be. A game that I thought Florida would beat OU. Florida's playing some pretty good basketball right now. But they demolished OU. I mean, they dismantled OU. It was a complete beating. 84-52, they beat OU on Saturday. Kavoris Hayes, he scored 20 points off the bench for Florida. Devin Robinson at 13. They were plus 9 on the glass. They dominated OU. Any way you can dominate a team, they dominated. Jordan Woodard for OU, 0 points on He missed all seven of his shots. OU was 1 of 16 from the three-point line, so it was just an ugly game for OU to get dominated like that. It was the worst OU loss at home since 1922. You know, I'm old, I'm getting older, but I'm not that old. 1922, that was ugly. That was just pure teen ugliness there. For Florida, it was a complete dominant for OU. As you say, it was great for Florida. If you're a Florida fan, you should be ecstatic. But for OU, it was just plain ugly. So a nice win there. Also in the Big 12 SEC Challenge at OSU, they're playing some better basketball. They whipped Arkansas 99-71. Leighton Hammond, he had 20 points and 7 rebounds. Phil Forte had 18 points and 6 assists. Juwan Evans had a really good game, 16 points, 8 assists, and 7 rebounds. They shot 50% from the field. They were plus 15 on the glass, only 7 turnovers for OSU. Very efficient. Jalen Barford, he scored 21 points for Arkansas, but they shot just 41%. So OSU's playing better defense, and their offense is really clicking right now. Bedlam is tonight, OU versus OSU, and I know OU, they beat OSU, I believe, 12 straight times in Norman, but, man, I got a funny feeling that OSU's going to win tonight. I'm not going to make a prediction on it. It's really tough to predict, but, man, Oklahoma State, you talk about two teams going in opposite directions. OSU's ascending, and OU right now is descending. The one game I was wrong about on my weekend watch picks, I told you Kentucky would beat Kansas at home. That did not happen. Kansas comes back to beat Kentucky 79-73. Frank Mason scored 21 points. Josh Jackson, he's big time. 20 points and 10 rebounds. I know he's not a great shooter, but if his shot improves, in which is, he has shown improvement with his jumper, watch out. No, he's definitely one and done. Kansas shot 50% from the field. And they did a great job defensively going to the 2-3 zone against Kentucky. Early on, Kentucky was really dominating on that man-to-man defense. Kansas switched to the 2-3 zone. Great coaching decision there by Bill Self, and that made a big difference. Kentucky really struggled to score against that 2-3 zone and to execute their offense against that 2-3 zone. Derek Willis played really well for Kentucky. He scored 18 points. Malik Monk had 18 points with only 6 points in the second half. DeAndre Fox only had 10 points and only 2 assists. They did a great job of keeping him out of the lane. Bam Adebayo, I thought he would be the big difference maker. He only scored 10 points. He missed 6 free throws, by the way. 17 turnovers for Kentucky in that one. They settled for jump shots against that 2-3 zone. They didn't get to the teeth of that 2-3 zone. They settled for jump shots, and that was really costly. And give Kansas great credit for winning. You know, this is not a great Kansas team. Their backcourt's really good, but they definitely have issues on the interior. They got all kind of foul trouble, but excellent coaching by Bill Self and a great win for Kansas going on the road and beating Kentucky after losing at West Virginia. So nice win there for the Kansas Jayhawks, and that one, they have another big game coming up on Tuesday night against Baylor. We'll definitely talk about that on my next show on Friday. Also on Sunday, I told you Villanova would beat Virginia. I was sweating that one out, but Villanova did come. They came back to beat Virginia 61-59. Josh Hart, he scored 12 points. Miles Bridges and Jalen Brunson both had 15. DiVincenzo, I think I'm pronouncing his name, why he had a game-winning tip at the buzzer. His only 2 points that he scored was a game-winning tip. Also, I thought Villanova did a great job of being in attack mode. They got to the free throw line. They were 20-24 from the free throw line. Virginia only had 3 attempts, so that was a key. And they hit some big threes down the stretch. They shot 72% in the second half, so a nice job there by Villanova executing their offense. For Virginia, Ty Jerome, he scored 15 points, and Virginia shot 50% from the field. If you had told me that Virginia would shoot 50% from the field, and their defense, their pack line defense is the truth. They do a great job of keeping you out of the paint. I would have said Virginia wins, but they did not get the job done. They just didn't score enough, and that's an issue for Virginia, their ability to score enough. Yeah, they're going to stop you from scoring, but will they score enough to win? At times, they do not. So that was costly, and Villanova gets the job done. Like I said, they hit some big shots and got to the free throw line. We did have a big injury. Xavier's Edmund Sumner, he's going to be out for the rest of the year with a torn ACL. That is a huge blow for Xavier. And Xavier has been playing some pretty good basketball as of late, but that is a huge blow for their chances of going to doing anything in the NCAA tournament. In the Big East, that's just a big blow for them. You hate to see those kind of injuries. Creighton, Mo Watson being out with a torn ACL now. Edmund Sumner. You don't want to see these kind of injuries. Also, OG Abanero from Indiana. Anya Bayo, I didn't pronounce his name right, but you know what I'm talking about. OG, that was big, bad as well. So you don't want to see those type of injuries. And again tonight, Notre Dame versus Duke coming up here in about 10 minutes. Looking forward to that game on ESPN. Again, the key for Duke, defense. And they're going to have to play some really good defense against Notre Dame, who really likes to execute really well. Matt Farrell, V.J. Beachum, Bonzi Colson, Steven Styria, they can score. So that's going to be key for Duke. And again, on offense, not selling for that three-pointer, getting to the basket and being in attack mode. So anyway, that's my thoughts on college basketball. Right now we're going to take a quick break. We're going to listen to some Jackson 5. When we come back, we do have a special guest. Dick Vitale is going to stop by. He's going to give us his thoughts on the weekend in college basketball and his Super Bowl picks. And then after that, we'll talk NBA. We'll do all that next on Mo's Sports Talk. Giving us his thoughts on college basketball. But let's turn to the NBA quickly. Let's talk about the weekend that was in the NBA. On Friday night, the Pelicans stunned the Spurs, beating them 119-103. Pelicans were in double figures, led by Drew Holiday, who scored 23 points and had 11 assists. Also, Terrence Jones had 21 points and 7 rebounds. Anthony Davis had 16 points and 22 rebounds. They shot 52%. They hit 13 threes. Again, not Spurs-like defense. What was the defense? You know, the Spurs are known for their defense, and they did not play well at all on Friday night. Also, they gave up 15 offensive boards. Kawhi Leonard, he was back, so that's a good thing for the Spurs. He had 23 points and 6 rebounds, but the Spurs shot just 39% from the field, and they only had 20 assists, and they allowed 60 points in the paint. Again, the Spurs' defense was poor. They didn't have the ball moving offensively, and the Spurs are really struggling right now. They lost again on Sunday. They lost to Dallas, a Dallas team that's been playing bad basketball all season long. So a tough stretch right now for the Spurs, but that was definitely shocking on Friday night that they lose to the Pelicans. But that's going to happen. The Pelicans they're a talented team. There's no doubt about that when Anthony Davis is healthy, but still, the Dallas loss is just a bad, bad loss. We had talked about the Spurs on Friday for that New Orleans game, and we were talking about how great the Spurs have been playing, but they've been struggling the last couple of games. We'll see if they can turn around this week. On Saturday night, I thought this was going to be a good game, but it turned out to be a blowout. Golden State destroys the Clippers. 144-98. That's right. I didn't misspeak. 144-98. Steph Curry, he scored 43 points. He also had 9 rebounds and 6 assists. He hit 9 threes. Did you see that half court three that he hit? Oh, my goodness, that was big time. What a big time shot by Steph Curry. Kevin Durant, he had 23 points. They shot 62% from the field. They had 35 assists. Again, their ball movement is just just amazing. Just amazing. Also, they hit 17 threes, only 11 turnovers, very efficient. For the Clippers, Blake Griffin, he scored 20 points, but they shot just 44% from the field, and they were out-rebounded by 16. And when you're the, if you're the Clippers, if you have any chance, I know Chris Paul is out, so they had very little chance of winning this game anyway. But if you have any chance of beating the Warriors, you have to dominate them on the glass. And when you get dominated on the glass by the Warriors, that's not good. That's not a good thing. That's going to lead you to getting your butt beat, and that's what happened to the Clippers on Saturday night. And a lot of people are saying, I heard Stephen A. Smith this morning saying, well, it's not fair. Golden State's too good. You got to get better. Now, look, no one can add a Kevin Durant, but you got to do what you can do to get better. And this team's not unbeatable. They can be beaten, but if they're healthy, it's going to be awfully tough to beat this team. The Golden State Warriors are who we thought they were. I mean, their ability, their passing ability, their ability to get everyone involved in the offense. They're not a selfish team, and that's why I knew they were going to play some really good basketball. Some people were saying, oh, it's not going to work out. There's not enough balls to go around. There's too many talented players. You can never have enough talented players, okay? Give me a talented player over a non-talented player. I'll take the talented player every day of the week. So I like watching the Warriors play. Am I rooting for them? Not so much. Not so much. As an Oklahoma City Thunder fan, I'm not rooting for them, obviously. But I do like watching them play. Yeah, they play the game like it should be played. I know it's not a lot of competition. And again, that's not good for the league. Make no mistake about it. That's not good for the league. But they are definitely fun to watch. I mean, man, they pass that ball around, and that ball doesn't stick. When they're at their best, that ball doesn't stick. It's just constant movement. I mean, my goodness. And Steph Curry was unbelievable on Saturday night. He's really fun to watch. And then on Sunday, the Cleveland Cavaliers, they blew out the Oklahoma City Thunder 107-91. Kyrie Irving was great. He had 29 points. 10 assists. He did a great job of getting to the lane. He was in a constant attack mode. Oklahoma City could not keep him out of the lane. LeBron James had 25 points, 14 rebounds, and 8 assists. Tristan Thompson had 19 points and 12 rebounds. And Amon Shumpert had 16 points. And that's what, if you're the Thunder, you know LeBron James and Kyrie Irving are going to get theirs. Kevin Love, he was hurt. He went out early in the game with back spasms. But you cannot allow Tristan Thompson to have a double-double. You cannot allow Iman Shumpert to get his 16 points. You can't allow it, or you're not going to win. Also, Cleveland only had 10 turnovers. And a big second quarter for Cleveland. They scored 37 points in that second quarter when they took control of the game. For Oklahoma City, the only bright spot, if you want to call it a bright spot, Russell Westbrook had another triple-double. 20 points, but 7 of 26 shooting. He didn't shoot the ball well at all. The Thunder didn't shoot the ball well at all. He had 12 rebounds and 10 assists, so his 24th triple-double, that's nice, but in a losing effort. But the team is 18-6 when he gets a triple-double, so that's a really nice record. Victor Oladipo, he scored 17 points, but he only shot 33% for the field. He had 9 rebounds. Oklahoma City, get this, they missed 18 layups. Again, they had some great offense, but they missed layups. You got to finish around the basket. And that air ball layup from my homeboy Singler. Now, Singler's my homie. He's from Duke. Duke went in that championship, but man, how in the world do you airball a layup? I've never done that, and I'm not a good basketball player, but I never airballed a layup. That is absolutely ridiculous. I've missed a bunch of layups, but airball a layup? Come on, man. Come on, dog. That's Shaq and the Fool right there. They shot just 37%. They were 6 of 26 from threes, and they had Oklahoma City had 16 turnovers. 16 turnovers. Scoring is going to be an issue without Enes Kanter. Kanter, he's going to be out up to maybe 2 months. That's going to be a big issue for Oklahoma City to score. That's going to be a big, big issue. Can they score enough to win? That second unit is going to really struggle with that Enes Kanter. That was just a bad decision by Enes Kanter, breaking his forearm, getting upset, and hitting that chair in that Dallas game. That was just an awful, awful decision. You got to control your emotions. But that being said, someone else is going to have to step up. I thought Jeffrey LaVerge, he played pretty well. Stephen Adams, he played some pretty good basketball as well. But someone else is going to have to step up going forward. So we'll see if Oklahoma City can get that done. But their best player is Westbrook, Victor Oladipo. They have to shoot better. They have to play better. That's going to be key. Russell Westbrook has been playing great all year long, but they have to shoot the ball better. They have to shoot a higher percentage, and they have to make their layups. So, yeah, they done. But thank you for listening to my show. Don't forget, my next show will be Friday at 5:30 Central Time. We'll break down the Super Bowl. I'll give you my prediction. Also, we'll talk some college basketball. We'll talk NBA. So hopefully everyone has a blessed rest of your week. Keep my grandmother in your prayers. She broke a rib, so keep her in your prayers. And have trust in God, and we'll talk to you next time on Mo's Sports Talk.